This is a recording of the second segment of a forum for candidates for the three open Bozeman School Board seats. The forum was held on Thursday, April 22, 2021, via video teleconference. It was sponsored by the League of Women Voters and Bozeman Public Library, and Sally Mason moderated.
Okay, so this is Forum 2 with Jennifer Lammers, Cheryl Tuscan, and Doug Fisher. And each of you gets a minute to introduce yourself. And who would like to go first?
I can go.
Okay. So you have 90 seconds to introduce yourself.
So my name is Jennifer Lammers. I'm a parent, a local business owner, and an active community member. I have a seventh grade daughter at Sacagawea. And I have a freshman son at Bozeman High. Before that, we were a Longfellow Elementary School family. My husband and I own Nina's Tacos on Mendelson with our business partners, Megan and Joe Romano. And with most of my time, I currently serve as the president of the One Valley Community Foundation Board. Through this organization, I have recently had the honor of supporting and assisting the management of the Southwest COVID Relief Fund, the Bridger Foothills Relief Fund, and I have worked with a variety of local organizations to address community needs and celebrate this special place we all get to call home. I want to thank the library and the League of Women Voters for providing this opportunity, and I want to thank our community for actively engaging in the school board election and for making our public schools a priority. Bozeman is a special place because our community cares and participates. I look forward to hearing from the other candidates and sharing my ideas and views with all of you. Thank you for being here tonight.
Okay. Who would be next?
Cheryl or Doug?
I can go next.
Hi, Doug.
Hello. So thank you for, it's truly an honor to be here. And I am running because I fully believe in the district's mission, which is what's best for kids. As trustees, we can disagree about approaches, but when you have a board that is focused on that mission, you accomplish great things. And I believe that in order to have a first-rate city, you need a first-rate school district. And I am here to ensure, or I'm hoping to ensure, that we maintain our first-rate school district. So my educational vision includes a safe, inclusive, and welcoming environment, a flexibility and options for various students as we emerge from this pandemic, and a commitment to excellence in all its aspects. So a little bit about me. I've been here for 11 years, but my wife has deep roots in this valley. I'm a science journalist who runs a nonpartisan news and science organization focused on our environment and health. And as a journalist, I'm used to asking tough questions, listening intently, and checking any bias or agenda at the door. I have two children who've come up through the schools. My daughter, Georgiana, graduated last year, and my son, Phineas, who is a sophomore at BHS. And I'd be remiss if my last 10 seconds, I failed to mention that I've been married to Stephanie Ewing for nearly 20 years this summer. And she's a soils chemist and a professor at Montana State.
Thank you. And Thank Cheryl. You.
Very good. I love your bow tie, by the way, Douglas. That's awesome. So my name is Cheryl Tuscan. I have been here in this valley for almost 21 years now. I moved here to attend Montana State University, and I got my degree in physics with a minor in math in 2003. I met my husband while going to MSU. We were married a year later, and we have two wonderful sons who are now 14 and nearly 16. Our children have attended Longfellow, Whittier, and Chief Joseph Middle Schools. They also attended a charter school for when we were briefly in Colorado for a year. So we got to participate in that kind of setup and program, which was very interesting. As well as we've home educated for 6 years. So a couple years here, a couple years there, over the course of it. And they're currently enrolled part-time in a private homeschool hybrid called Emerge. Every year we evaluate what is best for our kids academically and relationally, looking at, you know, the situations that are at hand, what they might need a little bit more of, if they need to be released so that they can move ahead in mathematics. So we look into all these sorts of things. As parents, we believe that we ultimately have the responsibility to lead and guide our children in their moral and character development. And education has always been a significant factor in this endeavor. So I really want to thank the Women League of Voters and the Bozeman Library for putting this forum together. And I really look forward to having this great discussion tonight with you guys.
Okay, thank you all. Okay, I asked you to prepare the following question. Why are you running for the school board? And if you're elected, what will be your priorities? And who would like to start first?
I can go first.
Okay, thank you. You have 2 minutes.
So I first ran for the school board 6 years ago after helping my son's fourth grade class. It's hard to believe that was just 6 years ago, but fourth grade class successfully lobby for the legislature and the governor to create a state soil. This is the SCOBY series. It's fascinating soil. But watching the agriculture and science communities come together and support these students, and watching the lawmakers and their power to kind of shape lives, made me kind of acutely aware, you know, in a way I hadn't been before, of the power of public service. And that has stayed with me. And as I meet with teachers and principals and parents and community groups, you know, when you, it made me aware that there's the need to kind of to stay focused on a mission. And when you stay focused on that mission, you can accomplish great things and for public good. And so my priorities, if I get reelected, are straightforward. I am a bridge. I see my role as kind of carrying what the community expects of to the educators and what educators need to from the community to meet those standards. I'm not an education expert. I'm not here to push an agenda. I'm here to synthesize, to listen, to keep focused on, and ensure that that every child emerges with the tools and the information they need to succeed in life. And so in the next year, we have two big tasks ahead of us. I'm sure we'll talk further about this, but for me, it's ensuring flexibility and options for various students as we emerge from the pandemic, and then finding the very best superintendent for the very best school district in the state. And I'm just looking forward to hearing what others have to say, and you know, those are my expectations and my focus.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer.
Okay, and then Carol. I'll just go next. So I'm running for school board because I believe that children are the future of our country, and we have to work to ensure that they're challenged rigorously academically, so that they have the tools to succeed in whatever they, you know, choose to pursue as careers. And thankfully, you know, we had a really, really difficult year when people had to go to virtual learning. And thankfully, Bozeman was able to open back up to full in-person instruction. But there's still a lot of work to be done. Like right now, there's a lot of talk with universities like the California school systems, university systems, that are talking about removing or lowering their SAT or ACT standards. But at the same time, we have to remain diligent to educate. Now's not the time to lower the bar, especially with having such excellent schools like Bozeman. In recent years throughout the nation, inaccurate history, such as the founding of the United States for the purpose of securing and maintaining slavery, has permeated our schools. One of the things I'm most concerned about is inaccurate history being taught to our public schools. Some states have even introduced mathematics curriculum that has sections dismantling racism in mathematics. But with my physics and mathematics background, I can tell you 100% that teaching a child to show their work in mathematics or to come up with the right answer is not discriminatory. It's educating. And we have to make sure that as these sorts of curricula are coming in to our school system across the country, that we have to say no to that. We have to say, you must learn proper mathematics, proper education. We can't over-racialize every single lesson in the classroom. So it's really important to me that we have a non-biased history in our school systems.
Okay, thank you. And Jennifer?
Thank you. I'm running for trustee because I think parents and families deserve a strong voice in the governing of our public schools and an advocate for their concerns on the Board of Trustees. I believe that Bozeman schools are some of the best in the country, and I am truly impressed with the quality and dedication of our teachers and administrators. But I can't ignore the frustration, disappointment, and panic that many parents, grandparents, and guardians express when they're trying to find help or improve their child's educational experience. I've also been made aware, with growing intensity even in the last year, of the widespread perception that the Board of Trustees is increasingly disconnected from the realities many of our students and families are grappling with in present-day Bozeman. If elected, I will marry my skills in community building, knowledge sharing, and problem solving with my experience as a BSD 7 parent who has regularly and recently volunteered in the classroom, led a parent association, and served on a number of district-wide committees. Specifically, I will work to improve communication for all students so that they can identify and access all of BSD 7's outstanding educational supports and enrichment opportunities. I will see that there are visible and transparent mechanisms for raising additional concerns and issues with the district. And I will work to fill our vacant leadership positions with a professional who has strong communication skills and is committed to constituent voice and community participation in the governing of our schools. I believe that outstanding public schools that people want to send their children to are a key to creating shared values and establishing a shared identity for Bozeman as it continues to grow and diversify. And I believe that I have the skills and training and personal parent experience to ensure that BSD's promise is available to all of our students. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we come to the question portion where anybody in the audience can type a question in. And I'm going to run over the way to do that real quickly. And then we'll start with a question that's already in the chat. At the bottom of the screen, you'll see a toolbar. If you can't see it, excuse me, try moving your mouse over the screen or press the Alt button. The toolbar should pop up. Q&A feature or chat feature will come up, and you can type your question in and then to hit enter to submit. So here's a question that came in with the last hour, but we'll bring it to this hour. What is your understanding of the critical race theory and equity? What is your opinion on these theories? And each of you has a minute. And who would like to be first?
I'll go ahead and start.
Thank you.
So critical race theory is an academic discipline that's built on the intellectual structure of identity-based Marxism. It has its roots in critical theory out of the Frankfurt School of Marxism, and it's a very concerning thing. What it does is kind of a choppy word salad type thing where we're taking words like equity that sounds really good, and it sounds really similar to equality, but equity is equal outcomes, whereas equality is equal opportunity. So a lot of people are talking about these things. It sounds wonderful. And I understand how a lot of people love that because I want diversity. I want people to have equal opportunity. But the critical race theory, one of the big proponents is Ibram X. Kendi from his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. And he says things like, in order to be anti-racist, you also have to be truly anti-capitalist. And that just doesn't align with America. And I don't think that Americans really understand what this critical race theory is. What it teaches is that we will be teaching our children when this comes into our school to separate them out into groups of the oppressed and the oppressors. And it makes the children only look at their races and separate into identity groups instead of looking at each other based on the content of their character instead of the color of their skin.
Next.
Give me time.
Well, I can follow up with that. And thanks, Cheryl. You know, my understanding of critical race theory is quite different. I feel like in part it's become a bit of a shock word. There's a lot of confusion around this. It's actually a friend of mine. It's taught at a graduate level course at the Montana State University. Friend of mine teaches it. It's an elective. It's definitely not part of our Bozeman School District curriculum. I haven't heard any effort to work it in. I don't know. It's a graduate level course, and it focuses not on attending to episodic racism. It really focuses on tending to systemic racism. So it looks at the lived realities of different communities that are systemically oppressed, you know? It's kind of like, you know, if you look at say, and you can use math to actually do this. And you look at say white versus non-white populations, you look at the proportion of that proportion, white versus non-white at higher ed, in the higher ed, you know, at Montana State, for instance. And then you look at that proportion, that same ratio in, say, the state's prison population, and they tend to be exactly flipped. And the question that I think critical race theory looks at is why is that? And that's about it. I don't see, you know, I see a lot of kind of emotion attached to it, but it's looking at, you know, institutional racism and I'll leave it there.
Thank you. And Jennifer?
So I guess, as you can see, critical race theory is both understood and used differently depending on who's speaking and to their audience. The way I look at it right now is that our country is grappling with a number of crucial issues about inclusiveness, equity, fairness, and our national identity. And I don't think it's really so important to focus on the big headline words or the hot buttons, but to look at the shared values. And as a trustee, I think the important thing for me to promote is an environment where every student and every family feels at home in a Bozeman school, and that every opinion is respected, whether it is from, regardless of your race, your religion, your ethnicity, your orientation, your identity, your political affiliation, your economic status, whether your parents were born here, or whether they chose to move here last week to raise their families. I think the most important thing for Bozeman to focus on is creating that culture of respect and critical thinking and academic exploration. And not to get caught up in the noise and the buzzwords of the world outside and focus on who Bozeman is and who Bozeman wants to be.
Thank you. This was a question that was asked in the last hour and was asked again in this one. Can you please explain how you understand the duties of a school board trustee and describe how your experience, not your perspective, your specific experience, would contribute to the successful functioning of the board? Jennifer?
I'll go first. The Board of Trustees is the governing board for our school district, and they take a high-level approach to the policies and practices and efficacy of the delivery of education in Bozeman. And I see the role of the trustees as to be both an advocate for the school district in the community, seeking resources, getting input, and explaining decisions, as well as an advocate for the community to the school district and being an accessible communicator of community concerns and community needs. So I think the role of the trustees is to create a bridge and a sense of shared ownership of both the success and the obstacles to education in Bozeman.
I, you know, Jennifer, that was a fantastic explanation. I couldn't have said it any better. I look at the role of the school board as being that bridge, as Douglas has also said, being that bridge between school system and the community. I personally feel like I would love to see more parent involvement and being able to say, hey, I'm here for you. I really want to hear what you have to say. I know sometimes it feels for the community that is a very large school system. There's many moving parts and pieces. There's many schools involved, many teachers, and want to really be able to hear, you know, both sides of what the needs of the community are, as well as, you know, how can we match that with the needs of the school as well. And in connecting those resources for sure.
Okay. And Doug?
Well, I'm glad to say, I think we all agree on this. This question is great. So let me just share a story then. You know, on Tuesday, I went straight from a chamber forum where we talked about, you know, various things from critical race theory to, you know, all these kind of concepts. And then I went straight to an elementary school's parent advisory council meeting. And there it was fascinating. You know, the principal, it's one of our schools where the school has twice as many English language learners as both our high schools combined. And the principal is, you know, talking to the parents, struggling with how does he, you know, bring these kids, you know, up and to the same standards as everybody else. It's not about creating a separate track or standards or anything or tearing anyone, you know, it's just how does he lift everybody up? And what resources does he need for that? And then the parents started talking about how do they organize a fun run when some of their kids are doing remote and it's just a topsy-turvy world. And so it's, you know, I think as a trustee, it's important to take those messages, you know, to the community. And again, like, you know, like we said, be a bridge. And I think that's how you do it. You get into the schools and you listen.
Thank you. Next question. Do the schools have options to help students that may arrive at... everybody answered that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Do the schools... I'm on it. Finally, do the schools have options to help students that may arrive at school hungry?
I could start that, but I know just enough to probably be dangerous. yes. The bottom line is yes. We have a robust food program. We have building services, whole building behind Bozeman High School that with a kitchen where they're making, you know, ingredients from scratch. It's locally sourced to the extent they can, and we also have federal resources from the USDA to keep, you know, to provide a breakfast to kids, you know, who arrive hungry, and provide lunch. And I know that there are every school, you know, that there are little, you know, the building administrators have drawers where kids can come in and grab a bar to go. High school has that. And so there's resources there that are available. There's also, we're working with the Rotary Club on helping, frankly, homeless or unhoused students, you know, kind of make sure that they arrive, and can get food and can be able to concentrate and focus on learning. That's our focus, is making sure kids arrive and have what they need to focus to learn.
Okay, thank you. Cheryl or Jan?
So while I'm less familiar with the specific federal programs and the mechanisms by which we formally provide school through district funds, I do know that we have a number of nonprofit and community organizations that work to support the schools. We have the Back Back program, which allows students who are food insecure to take food home on every Friday to help them get through the weekends. I've recently been able to work with a wonderful program at the Whittier School that was started by their counselor, a parent volunteer, and their former principal. And it's called Grocery Plus. And this is a program by which families can request special perishable home items and food items that they can't necessarily easily get through the other services in town. And in this program, what we were able to do was tap into community resources, both nonprofit, corporate, and philanthropic. 100 Strong, a women's giving group, has donated $10,000 to expand that program to other schools. And this is something I'm really passionate about, is tapping into the generosity and services outside of the school district to help support our community, whether with homelessness or food insecurity. I think that the public schools can't do everything, but they can be a conduit and a connector to those others who are willing and able to address community needs of our most vulnerable.
Gerald?
Yes, and just to echo what they've already both have said, I know that we do have those, the food insecurity programs. So, you know, children can come to school a little early and make sure that they have their breakfast, which is super important resource to continue providing. I'm really thankful that we've been providing that for all these years. And they also have the reduced rate lunch programs. That is also of huge value to a lot of people who are food insecure as well. So,
okay. And this is a question that was asked before, and it's being asked again. What are your opinions on continuing the mask mandate?
I'll go. You know, I am and have been a strong advocate that in-classroom learning is the best place for our students to learn. And I think that there are a number of our teachers and our student and family populations that feel safe enough to go to school because the mask mandate is still in place. The CDC still recommends masks for almost all student activities. And I don't think we yet have a full body of evidence to say that we can safely eliminate masks. That said, I'm watching for that evidence. I am looking at the experiences of other districts and other schools, and I am looking for the scientific data that will let us know when we can return to face-to-face learning, not just in-person learning.
Okay. Doug, Cheryl?
I can go. I like that distinction of face-to-face versus in-person. That's a good phrasing there.
That was good.
So this, I think, is one of the instances where of where what the district does well, frankly. We are turning to experts. We are, you know, this is not something as a trustee I'm going to make it alone, you know, or in a box. We put together in November, we put together a committee of medical experts, county health officials, teachers, parents, doctors, to look at where we are with COVID, what the science is saying, and they have put together a matrix to help us, you know, guide our decisions on in-person learning. We are going to bring that band back together in July, and we're going to look again at where we are, what the science is saying. We're not seeing a lot of transmission in schools, but that's because we are masked up and people are being really careful about this. So we need to look and see. And as vaccination rates, it's going to be an entirely different ballgame in the fall. We're going to rely on experts to give us some advice. We're going to have a public discussion on that. And then we're going to, you know, make a decision go forward.
Thank you. Cheryl?
Great. So I don't support the mask mandates. I believe that the mask should be of personal choice for the people who feel more comfortable wearing them. There is a lot of, the jury's still not out on whether they've been helping or hindering or not doing anything at all. And with such little data showing, you know, their efficacy, I really think that there's far more harm being done psychologically and sociology with the social structure of it for children And I think that it's really important for the kids to be able to see each other face to face. The viral load that children do carry if and when they do get COVID is very, very low. And so their transmissibility rates is much lower. I believe that every family should have the choice for themselves to decide to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. And I'm hoping that our County Board of Health will lift the mandates and restrictions to follow suit with most of the other counties in our state. We're not seeing any huge breakouts in Billings. They have lifted their mandates as well as other major cities around our state. So I'm hopeful.
Okay, thank you. What do you see as the board's role in restoring trust among various stakeholders in the BSD-7 community?
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Sure, be glad to. What do you see as the board's role in restoring trust among various stakeholders in the BSD-7 community? Who would like to start? Go ahead.
I kind of jumped in on that. Sorry. Honest trust is one of the main reasons running. I BSD-7 and a lot of administrators and our teachers. But the way the last year unfolded really, really strained those relationships. And I think, unfortunately, left our administrators and teachers in a bad place and let the community didn't represent them well in the community. And I think that our parents and students didn't feel heard. Robert's Rules is not a welcoming environment for two-way conversation. And just being able to talk and then be thanked and moved on to the next caller doesn't validate the experiences we had. And so I really do think the trustees need to own the pain in our community that the management of last year's decisions caused, and really work to look at how do we interact and gain feedback from our parents, from our students, from the wider community in ways that are authentic and actionable. It's just not enough to have a meeting and let it go on for 8 hours. I think we really have to say we are committed to changing the mode of communication, and we are committed to creating mechanisms that allow for a feedback loop that can genuinely impact the outcome and the direction of public education in Bozeman.
Next.
I'll jump in. I think we this year, no question, put serious stresses on our district. It exposed fault lines all across and through society. I think it's continuing to do so. I think our job, I think we've made some mistakes, and we can own those. I think though we have started to do that journey by through new, improved communication, through we have new leadership at the district and Casey Bertram. He's, even though he's our interim superintendent, but he's doing a fantastic job. I would suggest in communicating to the parents and being open about what we've got. We've got this. We've returned to a consensus process that has served our district so well in the past, with teacher negotiations, everything from teacher negotiations to our matrix, our reopening matrix. And I think we need to continue to kind of go forward with that and continue to be open and accessible and bring the community in and listen to experts, follow the data. And I think as we launch a new search for a more permanent. All right, I'll stop here.
Thank you.
That's great. I think it's really important that that the community and teachers are feeling like they're both being heard at the school board level. That that there's good camaraderie. That there's good. Somebody said that. Just because you're communicating doesn't mean that the other person is being heard. Like, you might be saying words, but we need to be able to hear their them from their heart and to really weigh these things. And I do agree that that these Zoom meetings have been very, very difficult to be able to have a personal connection with a school board when very large decisions are being made to either keep schools closed, go to virtual, go to a hybrid meeting, or going into the full blown. I know there was, a lot of opinions on both sides. You know, a lot of people didn't want the schools open at all, and some people want them open all the way. So it's really important that we go back to in-person meetings and that we have a lot of parent interaction, making sure that they have enough time to know what will be discussed on the agenda so that they have plenty of time to, clear their schedules, come up when there's big decisions being made, and that it's communicated to the parents that, hey, we are going to discuss this thing. You might be interested in coming. So that's a really important thing that I'd like to see.
Next question. What role does your church play in your platform?
Well, I know that question was specifically for me. I saw that question pop up on the second to last question, which is why I got distracted because I was in the middle of answering that question. But I don't know. My church doesn't have any role in this discovering my platform. I have my own personal beliefs and views that I've formed over my entire 40-year lifetime. And I come from a place I believe we all have belief systems that we work on. I always come from a small government, small intrusion point of view that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with my church. So just leave it at that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jen and Doug, do you want to respond to that question?
So I'm sure there's a Mark Twain quip in here somewhere about church and politics and whatnot, but I can't come up with one off the top of my head. I also this is a nonpartisan job, and I think it also applies to, religious beliefs and other things you bring in. You know, it's like, I think as trustees, again, it's not about you. It's not about your beliefs. It's not about bringing an agenda or carrying anything in. And so I don't bring politics in. I don't bring religion in. It's really, and it's also to me, this highlights the need to get out and talk to the community. So I've been out knocking on doors this campaign, and it's just been great to hear a diversity of views and opinions and questions. And then to kind of synthesize those and carry those forward with me. That's what I bring in.
Okay, Jen?
I don't have a formal church, although I do consider myself to have a good spiritual relationship with our Creator. I try to live by two basic tenets: love thy neighbor and treat everyone as you wish to be treated yourself. And that's going to come with me as a trustee. It's going to come with me as a assistant soccer coach. It comes with me everywhere I go. But I also think the really important thing to remember is that every trustee is entitled to their personal beliefs, but they are not in this position to pass their belief down to the school system or to an individual student. We are there to ensure that our students get the critical thinking skills, the academic education, and the empathy and compassion to be good, successful future leaders. So what we believe or where we spend our worship is not as important than the behavior we model for our students.
Thank you. And here's a question again from the first hour that was repeated for you. How can the school district actively support non-binary and trans students?
I'll jump on that one if you want. So BSD7 has stated in both its strategic plan and in numerous places that we are committed to providing a safe and welcoming environment where every student can learn and achieve their potential. This is a right afforded all students, regardless of gender, identity, or orientation. And to to deliver on this promise, I look to a phrase I was taught when I worked with the special needs community. And in their advocacy, they say, nothing about us without us. So in order to support and meet the needs of our trans population, we need to speak with them. We need to invite them to the table and help determine the path that makes them feel most safe, most welcome, and allows them to achieve their potential.
Thank you. Doug or Cheryl?
It's hard to follow that, but I totally agree. I mean, it's our job as a trustee, as a district, as a community, is to ensure that every student gets, emerges with an education that allows them to succeed in life. And it's our job to maintain a welcome and inclusive, a safe learning space for every student. It's very simple. And to the extent we have roadblocks in the way, we need to address those. It's the focus on making sure every student gets the education they need. That's the priority.
Okay, Cheryl?
Yeah, it's just very well said by both Jennifer and Douglas. Believe that everyone should have the total equal welcome, equal opportunity to participate in every class, and make sure that, that there's no bullying that's going on. Make sure that we're teaching the children to treat each other with respect. We all come from different backgrounds and have different beliefs. We have different things going on. And it's a matter of respect and treating one another kindly, with kindness. Just like Jennifer said, with, treating others as you want to be treated. Super important that there's no discrimination, that everybody is valued because they are truly valued. And continue, helping them out if there's any extra resources that they would need because of, anything that's going on in their lives, that we'd be able to provide that those resources and make sure that they're feeling truly, truly welcome in the community.
Okay. And what attributes do you seek in a new superintendent? Hello? Yes, Jen.
I'll jump. I think first and foremost, a commitment to regular, clear communication. I think that we all suffered for the lack of that. And we have all seen the improvement since Casey has taken on the position and really improved the frequency and quality of communication. I also would really look for someone who practices inclusive leadership, where they're not looking for a top-down command and control style, but they are collaborative and they are a conscious listener to their teachers, to their principals, to their parents, to the students. And finally, I really think I'm looking for someone who has a interest in creating practices and policies and infrastructure that embed the values of communication and inclusivity in the institution. We saw when we lost Rob that some of the things we assumed were district-wide and part of Bozeman were diminished. And so I want to make sure that we don't lose that key core competency if we have to change leaders again down the road.
Thank you. Cheryl or Douglas?
Go ahead, Doug.
Look, I communication, I think, is a key. We need an excellent communicator in this position. We need someone who can kind of quickly, if he doesn't or she doesn't understand the or isn't familiar with that, with the Bozeman culture, can quickly become familiar. I think one of the things we learned with the previous superintendent is that we had kind of assumed that this culture that we Bozeman culture of consensus and communication was kind of baked into our district. And I think, that was maybe not the case. And so we need to make sure that we have a leader who is committed to consensus, to seeking a broad array of you know, opinions and information. And then we need someone who can you know, be a strong leader, but also be a compassionate one.
Okay. Cheryl?
Great. Yeah, I think that communication has been really emphasized this whole evening. Communicate, communicate, communicate. I'm a person that just, you know, you're not going to irritate me if you over-communicate the thing. But if it's too vague, if it's too nebulous, if you're too standoffish, it's really, really hard for me to understand where you're coming from. And it's just, it's part of relationship building. And it's not only relationship building with the school board and with the school staff, but also with the community. And as a superintendent, you're going to be pulled in a lot of different directions. You're going to be, you know, feeling beholden to the parents, to the students, to the school board, to the teachers' unions, and then all the support staff as well, the auxiliary staff. And we'll be looking for somebody who will be able to balance those different tugs and know when to lean one direction versus another direction. Someone who will be able to hear all opinions, all viewpoints, and not just one small, louder type of group, but be able to, you know, listen to the people who aren't as loud, but have very valid points to be made as well. So
thank you so much. And thank you all for your answers to the questions. Our time for questions is up. And who would like to begin with 2 minutes of concluding remarks? Doug?
I could start. Because Jen has gone first so many times. So I am honored to have served this community for 6 years as a trustee. And I am deeply grateful to the League of Women Voters and to the Bozeman Public Library for hosting this forum. I'm thrilled to see so much engagement and interest around this election. I think it's been almost 20 years since we've had this kind of interest in a school election. So I firmly believe that Bozeman has the best school district in the state. And we are emerging from a difficult year. We have some big tasks ahead of us. And so this conversation today was really helpful, I think, in hearing from the community and hearing from everyone about where we're going to go with like a superintendent and other priorities. I think we also have extraordinary opportunities ahead of us to grow and to improve our district, to grow and improve really our sense of what normal is. And that's whether that's our education model or our efforts at diversity or inclusion and equity. My focus has always been on the kids, and I'm focused on creating a safe, welcoming, and inclusive learning environment. And I've spent my 6 years on the board as a listener, as a bridge between the community, as an advocate for excellence. You know, I want students to think critically with the freedom to grow intellectually and emotionally. I want each student to emerge with the tools necessary to make a difference in this world. I hope that's your dream too. And I hope I've earned your trust. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl, Jennifer?
Yeah, so I just want to say also thank you so much for this opportunity to chat. It's been just a delight to be able to have this conversation with the three other candidates on this time, and then also the ones up the previous hour. Thank you for the opportunity for bringing this to the community. I love children. I think education is super, super important. Our children are our most precious resource, and it's really important to me to be able to assist in the growth of our community, teaching children critical thinking skills, logic, making sure that history stays accurate, objective, and unbiased, making sure that we don't put political sway into our curriculum so that children can form their own opinions about you know, the failures of the past and the triumphs of the past. Winston Churchill said that, to paraphrase poorly, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And that's really important. We have to remember our history and remember it accurately, and so that we can move forward correctly. And it's really important that that we plant, you know, good seeds in the hearts of our children to look at one another with respect, with love. I believe that true diversity is viewpoint diversity. It doesn't matter your race, religion, background, socioeconomic status. What matters is the viewpoint that you bring to the table. And I believe that people should be challenged academically. Their children should be challenged academically. We have to keep the standards high. Bozeman's been amazing, but now's not the time to back off of our standards. We have to lean into them. And I believe that the children are more than capable. And I look forward to this next year.
Thank you. And Jen?
So I believe in the power and potential of outstanding public schools to serve as a meeting place and a melting pot that really nurtures our shared values and our shared community identity. And I'm committed to working with every single member of our school community to ensure that the future of Bozeman Schools remains one filled with high academic success, warm and nurturing classroom environments, and are a source of community pride. As our schools go, so will Bozeman go. And because of that, I can see no more worthy institution to dedicate my time and skills to. And I hope that I have a chance to serve our kids and our community as a trustee. Thank you.
Thank you so much to all of the candidates tonight for being here and providing your perspectives. And thank you to the public guests. It's not easy to do Zoom. I hate Zoom. I'm over Zoom. I want it to be done. And it will never end. But it is what we have. And I so appreciate everyone's tolerating the funkiness of the whole thing. I also want to thank our sponsors, the Bozeman Public Library and Beth Boyson and the League of Women Voters. Both of us have collaborated, the League and the Library have collaborated on a lot of forums, and our push always is to have an educated electorate. So we urge you to vote and make your voices heard. And thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you.